Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, joining us to start the show today, Dan Riccio of Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver to talk about the Whitecaps. But first, Dan, how's your offseason going?
It's been pretty good so far.
Well, that's good to hear. I hope your weather's a little better than it is out here. I'm staring at a 10-foot snowbank, but you're used to that. You used to live here.
Mostly just big puddles everywhere. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, and you can go if you want snow. You can go to the mountains. We know. You got nice weather out there. That's fine. Do you have a nice team, though? This is my question. Are the Whitecaps fans, is there a reason to be excited this year based on what was a very disappointing 2019?
I think there are reasons for optimism. You know, my whole thought in the entire process has been over the last year and a bit is, okay, I really believe in Marcos Santos, the coach. Now, I know the club has had its issues, and we saw a little bit of a cleaning out over the summer and into the off season, and a new regime is in place. We'll only find out over time if it actually makes a difference. But it does feel like the club is been laying a lot of foundation to fix a lot of the issues that were around in the past. Now, as far as I know, the scouting networks and things like that weren't really developed fully. So most of the transfers that have come in have still been through contacts, agents, things like that. But I do like the fact that there is a lot less turnover. I think one consistent we see in MLS is that if there is consistency within a roster, you'll at least have a decent floor for where you end up in the standings. And Mark Dos Santos, in talking to him, he wanted that. So there wasn't a lot of turnover, even though the roster wasn't great last year. But what they had to do was increase some of the higher-end talent on the roster, and they've done that. You know, with Lucas Cavallini, they get a striker that is going to be able to finish and going to be able to have that high work rate on and off the ball that Mark Dos Santos so much craved last year and did not have. And a lot of the other players, Leonard Owusu and Christian Dajime, they do bring an element of excitement. They're young-ish in their prime, Dajime at 26 years old, and could potentially be a player that really excites off the wing. Now, it does feel like a team that is more set up to work under Mark Dos Santos' 4-3-3 preferred system. So I do feel like there's a lot more foundation here, and it's a team that's a lot more in the eye of Mark Dos Santos than it was last year. So that's my reason for optimism.
Fair enough. No, you met Mark Dos Santos when he was hired. It excited a lot of people because of the past success he's had. Last year was really his first, I don't know, failure is maybe a strong way to put it, but struggle as a head coach. How much of that was him on him having a learning curve in Major League Soccer, and how much of it was just those sort of those systemic stuff, the issues that you spoke of a moment ago?
I think a lot of it was, okay, yeah, part of it is a learning process for Mark DeSantis coming to MLS for the first time. And he admitted as much to that. And I think his biggest hurdle was bringing in players from wherever and trying to get them to acclimate to MLS quickly was something that didn't work very well. So that was one of his biggest self-criticisms, and one that I think many of us had as well. But the other part of it that Mark really failed in is that he didn't really have players to play the style and the system that he wanted to, that he's used to playing. And he tried to force that in the first half of the season, so to speak, and it really didn't work. And then as we saw, as the season went on, things just got worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, I still think the bigger problem was the situation at the club. You know, it was a disaster, and it was just something that, you know, they hadn't been running the club properly for a while. And I think I look back on it now and I'm like, wow, how did Robbo do anything with this team? to a certain extent. So there is that part of it. He came in late as well. I think he signed officially at some time in November, and it was like, okay, you got a clean house. This thing is a mess, and bringing in a whole new roster. And that's impossible for most coaches. Doesn't have a scouting network to speak of, is going basically off of his own types of connections. We know the things that were going on with Robbo and a certain agency as well that weren't exactly totally on the up and up. So a lot of things happened where the Whitecaps just lost their entire basis of networking to acquire players. And it just really, it showed as the season went on, they did not get talented players that were ready to have success in MLS. And there was a lot there that all came to a head all at once. And I think maybe in a couple of years, you might look back on it and say it was probably the best thing for the Whitecaps, because I think ownership needed to make some serious changes and needed to take a serious look at itself on how it wanted to go forward with this. And it seems like they've started to make the right decisions to at least try and catch up to the other MLS clubs and how they are run.
Now, when we look at the Whitecaps roster right now, Dan, is there a need that you see that is really obvious? Of course, Eric Godoy's re-signing, or his acquisition officially, he was on loan last year for a year. Now he's under contract until 2022, and 2023 is an option. But that being said, is there a need that you see that desperately needs to be addressed before the start of the season so far?
Well, the biggest thing I have is the midfield, and they just picked up Leonard Owusu out of the Israeli Premier League. Don't know much about him other than he's 22 and has a pretty good number base from what he's accomplished so far in his career. But the midfield has been the biggest glaring hole all offseason, and I think they're fine up front. You know, they got Cavallini, they got Dajime, they still have Jordi Reyna, Tussain Ricketts. It's going to be a nice option off the bench. Theo Bear's a good young player. There, and Freddie Montero is still around as well. But in the midfield, Wangenbaum is there, who is promising, and you know that there's a lot of talent there, but he couldn't put the team on his shoulders by himself in the center of the park, and that's where they just got run over all year long. I still have my concerns there. They have mainly just brought in those two players, they've brought in mainly just Leonard Owusu right now, and are still, by the sounds of it, and from what I can gather, they are hoping to make at least one more signing there before the season begins. But I think if you look into the summer, the big concern is, what is going to happen with Wangenbaum? He's supposed to be the biggest part of that midfield and the most exciting part of that midfield. He's made it very clear that he wants to move to Europe. Now, is that something that doesn't happen until next January, or does he try to force that move over the course of the summer, or does he play well enough that teams really want him to make that move in the summer? And that could be that could mean that the Whitecaps really have to make a couple of more moves in midfield in order to be able to compete at a high level. That's just, it's the place where they've really had a lot of struggles, and DeSantos really asks a lot of his midfield. And as well as I like Russell Tybert and some of the other players in there, they are better utilized as squad players. They really needed to upgrade that starting 11. I think they've done it, but they still need more.
Now, looking at the goalkeeper situation, Maxime Crépeau in 2019 had maybe one of the best years in his career, for sure, at the highest level he has ever played at. But last year, going into 2019, he wasn't defined as number one. Zach McMath was there as well, and we were thinking here in Montreal, where we've been knowing Crépeau for a long time, oh, poor guy, he goes into another MLS situation where he has to battle for number one. Now in 2020, Maxime Crépeau is the definite number one goalkeeper for the Vancouver Whitecaps. How different do you think it changes his approach heading into 2020?
I've really liked Max, getting to know him over the last season. You know, he's a very down-to-earth guy, and is always about the team. As much as, you know, he was basically having the best individual season of any Whitecap, he consistently made it about the team, and there is a humbling to that. And there's a lot that can come from a young goalie, but his biggest growth, and there is an element of, you know, will there be any kind of regression? It just, they asked him to do so much last year, and if they were to do that again, I don't think that would end up as well. You'd hope that they don't ask him to do as much. So the workload does need to come down, and that's more on the team in front of him than it is on himself. But with any young goalkeeper, you do want to see where the leadership element of the position comes into play, and how well he's working with those in front of him, how he's keeping his back line in the proper shape, and those areas. And I think that's where the biggest growth element can come from. And after a first full year in that position, I think it's the one spot in this roster that you don't have any questions about with Max Crépeau.
Dan, I think we'd be remiss to not at least address some of the more serious allegations that came towards the club last year, notably the Kira McCormick stuff. Can you give us sort of an update of where things are with that and whether the club is doing the right things to regain the trust of those that they lost?
Well, they did come out with the report, and essentially the report stated that the club did do enough at the time to look into it and went through the parameters that they needed to. And, you know, as far as the coach goes, I think there's been enough out there now that, you know, he's not going to be getting a job anytime soon, as he was still employed when the reports first surfaced and when Kira did come forward with her story. As far as the Whitecaps go, they definitely seem to have taken it seriously, in the fact that, you know, they want to make that reasonable change. Ownership Jeff Mallett has stated that many times. Now, I didn't love that they kind of buried the reports and the report that they did with the third party. I didn't love that they buried it right before Christmas, so that it would kind of like get swept under the rug. The club is finally, as I mentioned earlier, has started to take some significant steps. And, you know, one of the things we talked about here between us guys was, you know, there had to be some changes in the front office. And they finally had to put control in the hands of others rather than those that had been there for so long. And I think we've definitely started to see that happen. And, you know, the old three-headed monster, as they were called around the city, of Bobby Leonarduzzi, Anderson, and Rachel Lewis, they've lost a lot of power, it would seem, within the club. When you hire Axel Schuster as your sporting director and now Mark Pan as your CEO, and he's going to be developing the business side of things, I think it's pretty clear that the Whitecaps are moving in a different direction and have put the club into the hands of people that are more up to date with the modern day MLS and football world, that can put this thing in a direction where they can make money. That's what Mark Pan is going to do. And also, you know, have a better basis of where they acquire talent from, and also be that selling club that they want to be, where they get young players and move them on and make some money that way.
Last question before we let you go for today, Dan, and we thank you for your time today. We know it's early in Vancouver. When we look at the Vancouver Whitecaps in the 2020 regular season, how important is success after all that happened in 2019, from the controversies of the Kieran McCormack situation, but also finishing dead last in the Western Conference with 34 points in 34 games? Is 2020 crucial for the growth of the Vancouver Whitecaps, for the profit margin, for the supporters, and for the fan base? Is success primordial for 2020?
Success is imperative. Look, it's quiet around the Whitecaps in these parts. You know, like, people have gotten to a point, and the Whitecaps, they were never going to be signing massive name players that really move the needle with a European soccer fan base. And, you know, we know that there is that fan base here, but those players aren't going to come. So the only way you're really going to drive interest is if you put a quality team on the field. And right now, you know, we're a little over a month away from the opening night of the season. There's not a lot of buzz around this team. There's not a lot of love, given everything that's happened over the last 12 months. So it's really going to be all about results if this team is going to get back onto the radar of sports fans' minds. And yes, they have the diehards, but, you know, a couple of years ago when they were in the playoffs and they were fighting for first in the Western Conference, there was a serious buzz around the team. I haven't felt that for a long time around this club. They need the results to happen. And also, given that, you know, we've just talked about a lot of the changes that they've made and a lot of the things that needed to happen for them to move this club into the future, well, if you make all these changes and there's no results to back it up, a lot of people really start to doubt that decision making. And if there's no results here, I think it's puts a big question mark on Mark DeSantos. The honeymoon period is clearly over. It's going to be a lot of pressure on him if this team doesn't get results. And dare I say, if there's a slow start here, does he really come into question? I hope that's not the case, but it's certainly going to be a topic of conversation if this team does not start off pretty well this season in MLS.
Dan Riccio of Sportsnet 650, you can listen to him on his show Fine Lines and also on multiple shows on Sportsnet 650, and you can follow him on Twitter at DanRiccio650. Dan, thank you very much for your time today, and we hope you have a great training camp.
Yeah, thanks, boys. All the best.
And we'll be right back after this short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, you can find our premium podcast feed at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. Breaking news audio earlier this week talking about Tristan Borges yesterday morning. We had Kenneth Einar Moller's press conference also on the Patreon website. You can find that and more and all the different tiers and how to support the show at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. Dwayne has to go a bit earlier than usually today, but before we let you go, Dwayne, there's one topic of conversation we kind of have to address, and it follows a narrative that we started talking about yesterday. Hercules Gomez, a few hours after the show yesterday, tweeted that according to his sources and what he's been told, Toronto FC might be looking to trade or something with Jozy Altidore following his remarks and his throwing under the bus of TFC's medical staff after Michael Bradley's injury situation was made public 2 days ago. What do you think about Hercules Gomez's comments on social media and on MLSsoccer.com yesterday?
Yeah, the term he used was move, which I think probably, if you think about it, would mean sell more likely than trade. It would be very difficult to trade a DP. It's very difficult to trade a DP within the league, period. You have to have a team with the right fit and space for it, right? And he's making quite a lot of money, and not a lot of owners want to pay that. So that would be a very difficult move for TFC to make. But look, this is a strange one because I don't doubt Hercules' sources. I mean, he played for the club, so he would know people there for sure. So he obviously would have some connections in Toronto and obviously is a very, very well-respected journalist across the league. So he has great sources. But here in Toronto, this one caught a lot of people off guard. That are closer to the day-to-day stuff. And I spoke to a few of them today and to a person, they all sort of say, no one really knows where this is coming from. We haven't heard anything here at all to it. And, you know, Bill Manning to that end last night was quoted in The Athletic by saying that he wasn't sure where it came from either and that they were excited to see Jozy back in action. Now, you take that with a grain of salt. The president's not going to say, yeah, oh, absolutely, we're looking to move.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. But it's absolutely true. He's right. We are looking to move, which is going to put his value down 25% at least, you know, because clubs like, well, you want to move him? We'll get him, but we're not going to pay the premium. Of course, everything in sports is always negotiations.
Yeah, look, what the consensus I got today from talking to people that are around the club day to day, not anyone directly at the club to be clear, but around the club and talk to people, you know, on and off record all the time, is that this is more of the club is flexing its muscles a little bit to show Jozy that they too can use the media to get messages out, and maybe you should calm down and concentrate on staying healthy yourself is kind of what I'm hearing. So I don't think there's much there. I'm not doubting Herc. I think he clearly got this information from someone. He's not a guy that would put it out if he didn't. But I do think that maybe there's a little bit of gamesmanship happening here from the club at some level. And you can judge for yourself whether you like that or not. And I'm sure a lot of people will sort of go, what the hell are you doing, TFC? This is your star player, but their star player is, you know, a pretty outspoken guy. One person put it to me today. It's like, you don't re-sign this incredibly outspoken guy a year ago at a massive, nice contract again, and then immediately get rid of him and get your backup the second he does something outspoken. If you play with fire and get burnt, you know that you were playing in the fire, right?
Well, like, it's Jozy more that is the fire. They knew who they were signing, and they knew that it was going to be the case. It's not if, it was more when is Jozy going to say something that we don't necessarily agree with, but we're willing to support him even if we don't agree in any way, shape, or form. And that has been one of the good things. And, you know, we'll quickly end. It's when we talk about the CBA and we talk about how big superstars have to be able to sacrifice their own things for the benefit of others. Jozy Altidore is one of those benevolent type of players where he is important in those things. So it does illustrate how the treatment of his teammates is actually important to him also.
Look, and Jozy is a striker. Strikers are weird. You know, they're kind of their own person. They have to have a certain personality. They have to sort of believe in themselves in a lot of ways. But yeah, Jozy's going to Jozy is what it comes down to. And I just can't see this meaning much of anything. Like, the other part of it, too, is if you were going to actually move Jozy Altidore, I think you'd sell him, as I said. There has been some rumors in the Galaxy before. I don't know whether he's willing to do that. And you'd have to have someone immediately ready to step in. Like, this is not a move you're going to make and go, all right, well, we got Patrick Mullins here. Let's go. No.
Sure, you can try. When you say goodbye to your MLS company.
To the Canadian team. It's like they doubled down on Bradley. They're not going to move their star player at the forward position out of one move. No, they're just not. And what kind of damage is there? Sort of last thought on it before I do have to go. But is what real damage does it cause? It's more just it's January and people are kind of bored. And they're going to grab onto this for a day, and in 3 weeks from now, they're going to forget about it. So
3 weeks? You mean 2 days? Like Yeah. When Saturday morning comes, no one will be talking about this anymore. But on that note, we'll say goodbye for Dwayne for today. Dwayne will be back on tomorrow's show, as I will be also. Let's continue and take a quick look at a few news that are happening since I've been recovering from my surgery last week. A couple things that actually caught my attentions. Of course, the Chicharito video yesterday, where he's talking to his father, his family, and he's saying, you know, Dad, you know, it's really tough for me. It's the beginning of my retirement. And his dad is like, what are you talking about? No, it's interesting. And then, of course, another Mexican media where they're talking about Chicharito signing on top of the covers. And he's like, if people think I'm coming here with the mindset of a retired player, they're wrong. But then he goes out and tells his father that, yeah, it's the beginning of my retirement. What is Chicharito's true mindset? And is he ready? Buddy, think you're going to have a little shock. First time you have to take three flights to get to where you're going and to play Columbus on a Tuesday, you'll realize that, yeah, you ain't in retirement yet, buddy. You still got to run, and you might have to run more than you did lately. So we'll see how Chicharito handles Major League Soccer. But I thought it was, I don't know, that video, the way it looked, his emotional reaction. Of course, he's talking about his European dream being over. We'll see how his American dream goes later this year when the LA Galaxy starts playing. Miami's looking for a kid sponsor. And you know what I thought was funny? Apparently it's going to be Qatar. Ooh, shocking. Qatar is going to be the sponsor of Inter Miami. It shouldn't be shocking at all. Because let's not forget, what is it, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? A few years ago, like... After the original press conference of Miami MLS in 2013, a couple of years after that, there was rumors and actual transaction and an exchange of percentages of Miami, well, of David Beckham and his contract that he had with Major League Soccer, which is the basis of this entire franchise, is that discount contract that was included in his contract in 2008 to 2013 with Major League Soccer, that did have a component of a future ownership stake into a potential team, and it's been known as Miami since 2013, and there was an exchange of percentages and money involved and of proceedings process with Qatar. So that was a news a few years ago. So the fact that Qatar now is probably going to be the kit sponsor of Miami should not be a shock of anyone. And it's one of the ways for Qatar, I think, to find its way into Major League Soccer and to invest, maybe via a third party, but invest somewhat in Major League Soccer, and maybe a sponsorship is their first way. And I wouldn't be shocked if more and more the time goes by, more percentages of Inter Miami goes from Jorge Mas and David Beckham to also Qatar. And that would not be shocking to me at all. If I read the tea leaves, this is what it's looking like it's going to be. Let's finish the show by talking about another kit sponsorship. I don't know why. I'm a kit guy. I kind of like kits and sponsorship. It's there. It's present. It's like an association of a corporate identity, a corporate entity also, with your brand of a soccer team. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The Columbus Crew's contract with Acura, the car dealer, the car manufacturer, that is used to be associated with Honda, I'm not sure right now, but Acura and Honda and the Cruz contract finished after the 2019 year, so it is done, and it's not going to be renewed. So what will the Crew do? The Crew are heading into a new phase. It's year two of the new ownership. They're going to have their stadium and all the benefit of the investment they're going to have in the next few years. So for Columbus, they need a sponsor. Who are they going to go with? Of course, we would all love to go with Barbasol again, the iconic shaving cream company from the United States, a blue-collar type of company sponsoring the blue-collar type of Crew, was an iconic association for years in Major League Soccer. Hasn't been that long that it's been gone, but it would fit, in my mind, to have a Barbasol come back and sponsor Columbus. It'll be really interesting, again, take a shot. If you're listening to this, interesting is our keyword. If you take a shot, a drink, every time we say interesting or fascinating, by 10 minutes into the show, usually you are smashed. But let's think about it for the crew. What are the companies will make sense? You also have a few big medical companies in the Columbus area. There's other potential associations. The company associated with the new owners might be also potential suitors for a crew sponsorship on the kit. But let's face it, you want it, I want it, we all want it. Barbasol, please come back. Come back home. On that note, you can listen to the podcast version of this show anywhere you get your podcasts. iTunes, Google Play Store. iTunes doesn't exist anymore. I know. Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, and Spotify, and anywhere else you find your favorite podcast, you can find Soccer Today. Live Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. We thank Dan Riccio for his time today, and we'll be back tomorrow. You can follow me on social media at KevlarMeDwayne at 24th Minute, and this show at Soccer Today SPN. As always, until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.